Welcome to the Undefined Podcast. I'm Jared Palmer.
And I'm Ken Wheeler.
On today's episode, we're talking with Ali Spittle, developer advocate at Dev.2, an online developer community that's become increasingly popular in the wake of Medium's monetization. Prior to her new gig, Ali was a lead instructor at General Assembly, teaching web development.
So what's up, Ali? How's it going?
Going pretty well. Just got back from a long walk. It's super nice in DC today.
DC you're based in. That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. It's a fun city. Definitely a really great tech scene and a great tight-knit community.
That's awesome. So I was looking through the Dev2 code base today. It's a big Ruby app. Tell people what Dev2 is.
Yeah. So it's a community for developers. You can write more like blog posts or conversations. You can write comments. There's a chat system. It's a really great place to start building out like a blog. That's where I kind of started writing in some ways last year, or at least it's how I started getting traction blogging, even though I wrote my first couple posts on Medium. But it's been a great community to be a part of. I've had a lot of fun with it. It's really fun to transition to be a part of the team instead of just a community member.
So you started writing there and then came on board?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's it's not just like Medium, right? It's like there's more stuff to it.
Yeah, so there's also places to upload videos, and there's a Connect chat room where you can talk to the other people on more of like a direct message basis, and groups almost like Slack, but on the platform directly. And then there's also really great ways to make like discussion posts instead of just pure blog posts, so that it's a little bit more collaborative than just like a one-way communication.
I was looking through the code base. Like, there's tons of good stuff. It's all open source, right?
Yeah, it is, which I think is another really cool part of the community, that you can also contribute to that, not just the blogging or community aspect of it. You can also contribute by writing code.
So, are you mostly focused on the front end side of things, or the back end side of things? Like, what, it's a Rails app, but like, yeah, there's some React and stuff in there.
I am definitely more on the front end side for this team, though I also just joined the team a couple months ago. So I've also been doing a lot of like one-off fun, you know, projects there as well.
What do they use on the front end?
So mostly it's just like HTML, CSS, and ERB, and like vanilla JavaScript. We also have some sections that are preact based. So,
oh, nice.
Very different.
What's the editing for like writing blog posts? What's like the blog post writing interface like?
Yeah, so they have two versions of the editor. The first one is just kind of a text area that you can put markdown in, and there's front matter, so all the additional information about your blog post, like the tags and the cover image, those all go in that front matter. So it's kind of like a very traditional markdown experience, similar to GitHub or something like that. There's also a fancier V2 editor that is actually the most preact code that we have, and that one still has markdown for the body text, but there's also the front matter is a little bit more interactive and has different fields there. So the first one's kind of just a text editor, a text area that has some fancy features to it. The second one's a little bit more fancy.
That's awesome. I'm a big fan of Markdown. I write like everything in Markdown.
Dude,
I've been really enjoying this whole like slides in Markdown thing. Like when you make presentations with it.
You can do that?
Yeah, dude. Fucking yeah. I forget what it's called. It's called MDX deck.
You
said
you use it. Like you find yourself to be productive.
Fuck yeah. And then MDX Spectacle has an MDX mode.
Dude, I got it.
Yeah.
So like what's happening is like 50-50. It's either me procrastinating and I want to use one of those things. And like, I'm just like,
what do you use?
I just use like PowerPoint or Keynote and like,
get the fuck off of this podcast.
Dude, bro. Like, well, first of all, when I talk, mostly it's a demo. Like, it's like, how quickly can I get a demo? That's my goal. That's my bread and butter. That's my secret tip. Just like, how
so I'm going to be totally honest. I had this super fancy Impress.js setup. I had custom web components for it, like my own theme and everything. It was like super, super out there, super. Lots of work going into that. And then just recently I tried Google Slides for like the first time, and I was like, this is 800 times easier and faster. You can build your cool things with it. So I have definitely gone down the fancy route and I'm a little bit more back to the middle now.
You're in GUI land.
I just like, sometimes I don't want to write React. I just want to like think about React. And that's like where I'm at with my presentations. Like I just don't. The only thing I will say is there's the one thing in Spectacle where you can like step through the code. Like that is fucking awesome.
There's a couple things in Spectacle.
There are more than one thing.
I might be a little biased.
You're a little biased, but I'm saying that's one of the fucking awesome things is the code stepping through thing.
Yeah, I always wonder what it's like because like, you know, for me, like writing the library, like of course it's fucking easy for me to write presentations, but like I always wonder like, you know, if you didn't write the library, like how does that go?
It's like, so for me, it's like, look, part of procrastination I like to justify to myself is like thinking about the problem deeper, right? But like at the end of the day, it's just procrastination, right? So like, I don't know. I feel like if I write it in React and it's like, I don't know, if I use Spectacle or something like that, I'm just like procrastinating the actual talk or the actual messages I'm trying to convey.
Yeah. Allie, what's your routine, strategy?
Usually give the same presentation over and over again, just that. And then I usually start with meetups. So do procrastinate to some extent, but, you know, usually have a couple times to iterate on it, even though, you know, the first one may be rough.
Dude, Ken, awesome. you're one of those, like, Ken, you're one of those, like, I'll just do it live, first time, first thing, big conf thing, right? Like,
I give a different one every single time.
Yeah, that's me too.
I gave one in Reactathon over the weekend where I didn't use slides at all.
You just, whoa. Dude, that's savage.
Impressive. So yeah, I actually used to teach full-time, so the whole presenting thing is like such a huge part of what I do that I'm so used to it in some ways. So I think that my prep time may be a little bit lower than some people for better or for worse.
You're just smooth with it. So tell me about teaching.
Yeah, so I used to be one of the lead instructors for General Assembly's full stack boot camp. That was a really cool process to see both the growth in the students, but then also to kind of learn it slower myself. I was mostly self-taught, especially for web development. And so going through the curriculum so many times was really, really cool. Now I just teach part-time, but still fun.
So in the times that I've done that, the worst has been developing the curriculum. Does that apply globally or is that just me?
I think it's kind of fun. You get to
it's fun for sure. But I mean, as far as like time consumingness.
Oh, it's so time consuming. Like people don't realize that, but even like blog posts, they take forever to write.
So for me, I write very shitty blog posts. So I just start typing and then hit send. But for like trainings or education, you know, I guess, you know, you can't just ramble. So
no, you don't write bad. You actually write great blog posts and you have like great documentation. And that's definitely one of the differences between you and every other human being. But I know it probably takes a lot out of you. I can tell.
Oh, yeah. I go and drink and play Red Dead Redemption for hours afterwards.
Great game.
Great fucking game.
Allie, are you a gamer? Are you a gamer at all?
No, not at all. I think I played like Madden once in my whole entire life. That's pretty much it.
If you're going to play a game, that's the right game to play.
That's pretty good.
I go in and out of it. Like, I probably haven't played video games in like 3 or 4 months. But like, if one comes out, I'll like play it until I fucking beat it.
Ken, you beat Redhead. You told Red Dead, and you told me not to beat it. Basically, you were just like, finish the last bit.
Don't beat it because you know.
We had that conversation.
Did you beat it?
No, dude. I listened to you. I just like been hunting the fucking.
Yeah, don't you fucking dare.
Anyways, got tuberculosis. Like, I digress. Like, that's part of the game. For those who don't know, you work at General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
What's like the craziest question that you were ever asked?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to think now.
Jared, that might have been the craziest question.
Maybe that was the craziest one after all.
I don't want to say the real one on air.
too crazy. Too much for the Undefined podcast.
That's fair.
Too X-rated. No, I'm just kidding.
I think like the most surprising one is that so many students are like so detached from algebra and like high school math stuff that a lot of people forget that. And that's always kind of the one that catches me by surprise is being asked kind of fundamental math and stuff like that. Like I had a student say that like FizzBuzz had too much math in it and that we didn't learn enough math in order to be able to do FizzBuzz, which was a surprising one.
They're not wrong. I fucking suck at math.
Yeah.
I have to go do like remedial math all the time to get my job done.
Are you at the point now? I don't even trust myself anymore. Like I'm on Spotlight and I like know, like I just write everything in Spotlight. If I have double digit edition thing, I'm like, I don't fucking trust myself. Like,
like if I have like a thing where like I want to get like a number to another number.
Oh my God.
Like I'll take the two numbers and try and figure out how to make that work in between.
Dude, I've regressed. Funny backstory. One time when I was in, I only learned this later in life, like when I was in high school, when I was in middle school, I almost got thrown out of middle school because they thought I was cheating on all my tests. They were like, Jared's cheating, but we can't really prove it. He's just like not showing any of his work.
So how did you cheat?
I wasn't cheating. I was just doing shit in my head.
Bullshit. You were cheating.
No, I was not cheating. And I was just doing shit in my head. Anyways, all of that, whatever that was, I don't use any of that shit now because I literally type out everything in Spotlight in case, just in case it's wrong.
I feel the same way about handwriting. I had to like handwrite. So like the other day, like I went into a meeting and I had like a notepad and like a fucking pen. And like, I was like taking stuff down. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I haven't written something like by hand in like forever. Dude, this shit is chicken scratch.
I tried to do like division, like long division the other day. And I was like, I don't even fucking know how to do this.
You're like, yeah, I literally carried a five.
Long division the other day. And I was like, people pay me to solve problems. I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Oh, doing that on the chalkboard or whatever is always just terrifying. Oh, like, the worst. I've done it a couple times to demonstrate, you know, math stuff. And it's so scary.
I hate live coding. I can't even imagine live chalking.
Like, you don't even live code. You don't like live coding? You were just so good at it, though. Like,
I live code my ass off because it's a good parlor trick, but it's fucking, it's unpredictable.
It's true.
I remember one time I was at a GraphQL conference and I fucking forgot GraphQL. Like the whole audience is like, you forgot this thing. I'm like, wait, what thing? And then you have like seven people screaming at you. And
dude, that's the worst. That's the worst. In my Alicante talk for Formic and shit, I was coding Formic and I was writing an error message, like the, literally a validation message. And it was a string. And it was like a completely fine string. I just like misspelled the word like required. I like put like required or something, like wrote it wrong. The entire audience, all fucking like 200 people, like
spell wrong.
And like, I was like, "What? I literally don't understand any of you." And every time it was like, "Oh, they just keep calling out and coming out." And I just keep looking at the screen, and I'm just like, "Nothing's wrong," but you all are yelling at me. I'm gonna keep going. And then some brave soul was like, "You're an asshole. You didn't spell required right." And I was like,
oh shit, look at that.
Wow, look at that. That was important. Next.
TypeScript would have fucking figured that out for you.
Dude, I think at my next comp at React Europe, I'm going to just use TypeScript on stage and not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be intimidating.
Really? You think so?
I don't know. The only time I've used TypeScript is in Angular, and Angular in general is just a lot. So I feel like maybe it's me messing up those emotions, but
that's a great way of describing it.
I guess
it is a lot.
It's a lot. I don't know. How do you feel about this? Like, I'm going to a conference. I'm going to show off my shit. This is how I do. Why am I doing things differently for this spectacle? I understand that, like, yes, I get it. It will be less accessible of a talk to some developers, but this is how I work. And like, isn't it more important to show how you work and how you think about problems and how you actually fucking do things instead of like putting into this syntax that no one uses anymore? And it's like not actually like,
I wouldn't wait to say a lot of people still use that, but you know, it's if it adds value to your talk, I guess so. Like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't afraid to show reason because the talk was about reason.
The talk is not going to be about TypeScript. It's going to be about like Formic or whatever it is. But
you could say like it works with TypeScript and then all your types make sense. But like, if you explain everything, like I remember, I forget when it was, but I very recently explained TypeScript to somebody.
How did you?
They wanted to know TypeScript for an interview. And then like, I just showed them like basic annotation of like basic types and then interfaces and then generics. And then that was like 90% of it.
It is 90% of it.
Like somebody who's completely unfamiliar with TypeScript was familiar with it very rapidly because like, I'm not sure that like the docs do a great job of explaining what that nomenclature is. So like you see all the angle brackets and you're like, what the fuck is that? You know, or like the things with the I's or the T's, you know, like the unspoken conventions.
That shit is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like a plague.
So I think like explaining that goes a long way.
Sure, sure.
Because otherwise they see that and they're like, what the fuck is that? But as long as like you can, even if you just took a second to be like, hey, and if anybody hasn't seen this before, you know, this is props. This is where state goes. This is a generic. It's like, you know, if you wanted to have a function that could take anything, you're going to say, hey, if it's anything, then it's going to spit back out anything.
So Allie, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You are a developer avocado or whatever the fuck they call them on.
An avocado.
That's literally everybody on Twitter is just like developer avocado emoji.
Okay, less characters so it can fit in your Twitter bio.
You do understand that. I guess it doesn't really matter because it's like your target audience, but nobody who's not a developer knows that. Actually, nobody who's like a specific Twitter. All right, 2 cents. But okay, question. Other developer avocados. How do you gauge whether someone's a good or a bad developer advocate? I actually am like genuinely curious. Like, other than like not being a fucking asshole, which by the way, important takes it, is very easy for certain developer advocates to do at certain companies. Cough, cough. But but tell me, how do you know when you're doing well? Like in that time.
So I am only half developer advocate and only for the past 3 months. So
okay.
I'm like the biggest
newbie in this
whole kind of world. And also I'm the only one at the company and the first one. So I feel like I am the worst what other people are.
So what you're saying is you haven't gotten the opportunity to be condescending yet.
Yeah, right. You basically haven't been able to flex yet, but you're really waiting to flex.
You'll get there.
Yeah, maybe someday, but right now.
How do you like the role?
I like it. It's kind of like what I was doing before I was doing this professionally. It's just I'm getting paid for it now, which is cool. Like I was writing blog posts and speaking at a bunch of things before for this. So now it's just part of my job.
Traveling a lot?
So I will be this summer, but I wasn't filling out CFPs this fall just because I wasn't necessarily planning on speaking at a ton of stuff. So I'm kind of on pause till this summer and then I have a decent amount coming up.
Do you do a lot of traveling in general?
I do to some degree, but I also have a puppy and she...
Which has been adorable and just passed the fuck out since we started.
Yeah, she had dinner. she's the best, but I haven't left her alone yet. But I definitely have to brace myself for that this summer.
It's a lot. I have no puppy, but I have two daughters. It's the same kind of situation where it's a lot of things. Like, you know, like I'm on a little like fitness quest, and it gets so fucked up by travel. And travel is an interesting thing.
That's true. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
A lot of airporting.
Yeah. At least I have more capacity to do it now. Since it used to not be a part of my job at all before, it was just my personal travel was turning into
so conference. If you haven't already, super hot pro tip, sign up for all the reward shit that you can and try and keep all of your like hotels and flights consistent. Because with being a developer advocate and traveling all the time, you will get crazy shit.
Was it Nader who was like, yo, dude, I have like 700,000 points or something?
Yeah. Like I didn't do any of that shit for like the first 2 years. And like just like maybe like a year ago, I started it and I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like I get like free upgrades to shit. Like,
oh man,
I never knew prior, like the gravity of what that did. But yeah, if you're going to be traveling a lot, that is absolutely essential.
Where are you speaking next? What's your roadmap for, I don't know.
I have a couple of meetups coming up, but for conferences, I'm doing RevolutionConf in
Virginia. Oh, sick.
Which was the Boston one?
Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah, I'm super excited for it. Lara is actually coming, my dog. So
nice.
To go to her. Cool.
That's a driver, right? That's Virginia Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've always wanted to go to that one.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It'll be fun.
You're in DC, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you ever go to National Harbor?
I have not been. No, it's kind of cut off from the rest of DC because it's not on the metro or anything. So you to take a Uber or Lyft or whatever.
I fucking really enjoyed that out there. I can highly recommend it. That was fun. Like, I don't know. It's small, but it's a bunch of fun stuff. I guess they have a casino over there too that we went to that was pretty sick.
Okay.
Kind of crazy, like pyramid casino thing. Interesting.
Yeah, it's new since I moved here. So it's just a couple years old.
I'm a big DC fan. When I was in National Harbor, I wish I actually spent more time in regular DC.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Where I'm like, why would I leave DC if I'm here? But I love DC. It's a great city.
It's great.
I'm in Jersey, so it's a driver for me.
Yeah.
Nice.
3 hours, give or take.
Give or take.
Give or take. It's a little bit past Baltimore.
DC is a great city, though. Great spy museum. Other museums, too. But
do you ever go to Baltimore?
Yeah.
I have been to Baltimore a couple of times. Yeah, I spoke at their JavaScript meetup. It was really cool.
Charm City?
Yeah.
Me too. That's like my favorite thing to do every single year is the folks who organize that, they're like, hey, you want to do Charm City again? I'm like, fuck yes, I do. And I go down and like put crab companies out of business.
Yeah, it's honestly probably the best formatted meetup that I've spoken at.
What's the format?
They have a bunch of, I think it's either 10 or 15 minute speakers, and it's a pretty big room. They've got like tons of pizza and all of that. But I just think that the 10 to 15 minute format with, I think that they do like 4 speakers or something like that, is just excellent. They also have like a call for paper process that through GitHub that I think is also really well organized.
It's also very good pizza, and there's a place that they always go to usually afterwards for drinks, which is lovely.
So these are the things that we need. Like you need that. You need consistency. I like the format of 15 minutes because, to be honest, nobody wants to listen to you read the documentation for 30 minutes.
They also keep it really tight, by the way.
That's good. That's good shit.
Like, I don't care who the fuck you are. They're like,
you're out.
Like, it's over with.
Dude, I like that. I like that a lot. I got to say, format matters. The format matters so much. Also because meetups have become these like mini conferences in some cities. Like, that shit's crazy. I don't know.
Like, people have like lives and shit to do. So like, you know, if you're not going to make the kind of commitment that you're going to do for a conference, if it's just a meetup, like keeping it like non mini conference is huge. Especially if they feed you and you get to go out drinking after, like,
well,
or, you know, doing whatever.
Also don't get to do in certain cities though, right? Like, there's no like after party because it goes on from 6 till 9 or whatever the fuck. It's brutal, but I digress. Fun times.
You're gonna have to come with me sometime down there. It's good.
Yeah, dude. We gotta schedule some summer shit, Ken.
We gotta come back down to my place. Well, I had Jared down at my place shooting crossbows and drinking Miller Lite.
That might be the best YouTube video that I've ever been a part of.
I built a robot crossbow that hooks up to Bluetooth, and you make it shoot with like serial data commands.
It's a Sentry. It's like an auto.
Oh my goodness.
So we shot a Miller Lite with it and shotgunned it.
Ken put a Miller Lite in front of the crossbow, shot the Miller Lite, and then Ken shotgunned it. And I happened to be in the background wearing Pit Vipers.
Amazing.
Which, it was like, good times. If you ever want to come up and join us on these escapades,
also what happened?
Invite. You're close enough.
During that time, was like Ken's like, yeah, like shoot this crossbow, and I'm like trying to like what am I even trying? Load the crossbow.
Yeah,
and I couldn't do it because I was too weak.
Yeah, so the crossbow, like to cock it back, to get like the string back to the point where it stays, it's like 150 pounds of pull. And he really tried. He gave it a good try.
My foot.
I'm like, give me that thing.
It's like one hand. So basically in a zombie apocalypse, you're going to pick Ken. This is the person you're going
to be with. We'll remember that. Take note of that.
So now you know our shenanigans. When you're not coding or teaching, what do you like to do?
Yeah, so definitely friends are a huge amount of my time. Outside of that, love like rooftop bars here in DC. That's a big scene. Very nice. And on top of that, I work out a lot. So I run and then on and off do CrossFit and rock climbing, depending on how much time I have in my life.
I also occasionally do CrossFit.
Oh my God. Every episode.
Yeah. Like last week was bad because I was traveling, but the week before that I went every day that week.
That's impressive. It's hard.
I have yet to go this week.
Well, so you still got 4 days.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. The problem with the travel is, like, you know, I'll be doing like kettlebell shit or like barbell shit. And then like I went to this place and all they had was like a Peloton. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do like a fucking spin bike routine. Fair enough.
and then my ass hurt for 4 years.
No, it hurt my knees.
Hurt your knees?
Yeah, my knees hurt from that thing.
Really?
I don't cycle like that.
One spin class with my ex-girlfriend once at Flywheel, and I didn't have any like anything. Like they make like padded underwear and shit, like compression shorts.
Oh yeah. It's ass brutal.
Dude, my ass hurt for the rest of the year.
Like your tailbone.
Like everything hurt. Like I was like limping.
Do you cycle?
No, but I did because I was getting whipped.
Fair enough. Ellie, do you cycle?
I do soul cycle sometimes. I like nice. The whole motivational cool. scene. It's very inspiring. I like it.
I hear you on that because I have a spin bike and it's like right outside of my office over there. Yeah, but I fucking don't ride it because there's not some dude in the fucking backwards hat like, you know, all right, turn it up. You know, like just me on the spin bike. I'm going to ride it for like 5 minutes and be like, fuck this. I think like, a lot of fitness is getting into something that like you feel that sense of community or you want to go, you know, like there's a lot of things like CrossFit or cycling that are like kind of culty, but like it's not a bad culty, right? Like I did that with MMA, right? Where it was like I went to MMA every day because it was like MMA people that I knew, and like if I fucking didn't come or something, they'd all give me shit. Like it's really a good support network and motivation tool.
Yeah, I'm working remote for the first time ever, and so this is super helpful to be doing like
group. Oh, so it's like an escape. I get it. Okay.
How do you like working remote?
Yeah, tell us about that.
I am not used to it yet. I think maybe I will enjoy it down the road, but for now, I'm doing a lot of like co-working with friends and actually working from like different co-working spaces and stuff like that. And it's nice to have the puppy, but it does feel a little bit lonely sometimes, to be totally honest.
Give me pros and cons.
Yeah, give us the rundown.
The pros, I like being home so I can like make my own food and I don't have to deal with the commute or anything like that. Especially my last commute was like over an hour each direction and that was messy.
That's bad.
And then I like being able to like work out midday. That's been really nice too. Then I think the cons are just not being with people all day. It's nice to have somebody to talk to just randomly. And then also not having the same like work-life separation. I try to do like a fake commute where I take walks at the beginning and the end of the day, but I feel like it doesn't work.
It's hard to make it stick. I had the same idea. And it's like hard to consistently do the fake commute when it's so easy to just like be like, all right, it's time to work. And you walk downstairs.
So what I used to do was when I was in my other apartment, I was working from home. I'd like go out to breakfast or try to, at least like for a walk or some shit. And like, it worked for a while. And yeah, but it just got really hard in the wintertime to do that, to pull that shit. Like,
yeah, the winter fucks everything up for that.
Everything up. Like in the summertime, I was like, oh yeah, let's go to fucking brunch on a Monday and just like go out for that and then come back. But oh my gosh, just if you don't do that though, in the wintertime, you're like, oh my gosh, I've been in my sweatpants for 7 days straight.
Yes.
I have been in my sweatpants for 7 days straight.
Well, it works too. Well,
yeah, but you know, now that it's getting warmer out, like, so like the way that I make it work is like, I'm like, this room that I'm in is like,
Ken's room's downstairs though.
It's like a fucking like 10 by 5, like dark windowless room in my basement. And you know what I was looking at earlier? Have you ever seen backyard offices?
No, what's that, dude?
So they have like these like pods. They're like, they're almost like sheds, right? Where it's like an office that you put in your backyard and it's like heated and has electric and shit, but like it's a separate building. You know, it's like the same size as my office now.
Like,
but it's in a backyard.
Like, so like, for those who don't know, Ken's office is like in the basement of like this, of the palace. And, and it's fucking awesome. It's like neon shit and stuff. You have a separation of like office and life.
Yeah. It's very separated.
But to put context, when I was in my studio, it was one fucking room and there was a desk in the room with the bed and the couch and the kitchen.
It was like work and home.
It was work and home and other things too. And it was terrible for productivity.
Yeah. Because I mean, like you just like can like get up out of bed and get to that desk. Like I'd have to come downstairs.
So there was no turning it off. It was just like, constant thought of I'm in my office still. I'm still thinking about this problem or whatever.
I have two ideas with this, right? If I put it outside, right, that's even more separation.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move soon anyway, so I'm going to wait until I move to do that.
Into the next palace.
That's right. But the other thing is, right, like there's a real effect of not having windows. Like, I have no idea. I have no concept of time down here when there's no windows.
But you're like in a casino. You cannot know what time it is.
Like, if I were to turn off the monitors, it's pitch black in here. And I don't turn on lights in here either. It's very dark. Like, the only thing there's like EL wire, like rave style, which around is like everything.
Rave, which is cool. Dorm style.
But like, I'm afraid, dude, because like, if I sit down here, like just sitting for 10 hours a day in fucking practical darkness, I'm going to turn into one of those like blind lizards that glows in the dark.
Oh my god, what are they called? The fucking things on
Yeah, they're like in the cave, they like scuttle out and they're all fucking pale and rah, you know, and you're like,
yeah, they're
it's like they're fucking incredible. Yeah, hearing.
Ellie, where do you work? Where's your spot in your crib?
Yeah, right here. So in my bedroom. And then also my dog's like a not well behaved puppy, and so she has to be locked in this room as well, or else she'll just tear up my whole entire apartment. So it's both of us in one room.
That's cool. That's cool.
We are moving though, so we're gonna be in a place with a den, which will be big.
So, do you go to like a dedicated co-working place, or do you go to several?
No, I've been mostly just hopping on with friends who have like day passes for theirs. So, haven't done an actual membership for myself or anything like that. Just mooching.
I've thought about it.
Is there?
But then I don't end up going.
Well, you know, we're in a WeWork. I'm actually going to cancel. So we're in a WeWork. I'm pretty sure we're going to go full remote now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. The whole fish tank thing doesn't really do it for me.
You're listening to the Undefined Podcast with Jared Palmer and Ken Wheeler. Our guest today is Ali Spittle, developer advocate at Dev.2.
Do you have Panera Bread?
In the city?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like one or two, but I don't know where they are. They're not.
Man, busy. You're missing out on that suburb shit, dog.
I know what it is. Yeah. Man, you should be one at Cornell. It's fucking awesome. You should go that shit all the time.
Yeah, that shit is.
I want in DC. Or we'd have been pretty. Did you go to Cornell?
I did go to Cornell. I
spent a lot of time at Cornell.
Got straight B's. Called me Buzz. No, I'm just kidding. called me Buzz. Yeah, I did go to the Nell.
That's funny.
Did you actually get straight B's?
No, dude. I don't want to talk about it. Well.
Well, you certainly didn't get straight fucking A's.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I graduated.
You fucking nerd. Well, yeah, you have an econ degree, right?
Fucking 403, like fucking first in my class, summa cum laude, gonna go to Goldman Sachs, all that nonsense.
Oh, yeah, I remember that origin story.
Yeah, it was like one of those. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm not gonna use any of this. And then I taught myself how to code. And it was way better than doing the slavery that was 110 hours a week of financial institutions, investment banking.
Look at you fucking hippie.
Right. Pretty much. Everyone's like, oh man, this kid is fucking not cut out.
Allie, how'd you get into code?
Yeah. How did you, tell us your origin story.
Yeah. I totally accidentally ended up in code. So I went to Hamilton College actually. In
Wait, you went to Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yo, I went to Hamilton for 1 year. Let's go.
Wait, really?
I played Lax there. Let's go. Yo, that's so funny. Oh my God.
What dorm were you in? Lax there?
What?
I did play Lax there. I played Lax there for 1 year. Wait, what dorm were you in for, I don't know, whenever? What was your deal?
Oh my goodness. What dorms was I in?
I was in South, and then I was in fucking, that was it, actually. Then my brother was in like Major and like all this other shit, Dunham and all that nonsense.
Oh my goodness. I was in Dunham for my sophomore year.
Dunham, for those listening, is like this massive fucking dorm that's like for the entire sophomore class. Pretty fun.
So nasty.
What was the name of the fucking, what was the name of the diner? Or was it just called the diner?
The diner,
just
yeah.
The diner. Dude, so there was this diner that was open till what, like 4?
Yeah, something like that.
So what would, school is super tiny, but what would happen is you'd go out and you go to these like parties, which were like inside of other dorm rooms, and you come out to the diner at like 3 a.m. and order like a bacon, egg, and cheese, absolutely shit-faced. And it was just this classic, like, I don't know, like 70s diner. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great. All right.
Wait, where was this?
Hamilton College, NESCAC. Yeah. What's up? The NESCAC schools.
Really?
So I went there for 1 year and then I transferred to Cornell, but oh, good times. Good fucking times.
Yeah, I actually transferred in. So I went.
Transferred in?
Yeah, I went to Wake Forest first and then transferred to Hamilton.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why did you transfer?
I just was super far away from family, friends, all of that. And then also Wake Forest was kind of a weird fit. Southern school is a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I feel that. My mom was like, Chad, you can't go to Duke. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I went to the School of Hard Knocks and then later transferred to the Ken Wheeler Institute of Autodidactic Excellence.
That's correct.
You guys should have seen the fucking dorms.
Real.
It was incredible.
You're the best tweet, though. We went straight to the pros. Fucking the best.
Straight to the pros. LeBron. Brat.
Best tweet ever. That's so funny, though. Hamilton's a tiny fucking school. Hamilton's like 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Which was weird because it was like, so for me, it was like summer camp. I was like, this is whack. But also, yeah, it was a great time. My brother went there, so it was like very easy for my family for me to go there.
Okay. Nice. Yeah,
nice. But yeah.
Like, hey, are you Little Palmer?
Yeah. Literally was, oh, Palmer, the Palmer. Oh, what up, dude? You're like, oh, you
fucking Micro Palmer. What's up, dog?
What up, dude? What up, dude? And that's pretty, you just like verbalized my entire freshman year.
That's amazing. I'm going to call you Micro Palmer for the rest of your life.
Micro Palmer. That's you heard it here first. Dude, in some ways, Hamilton was harder than Cornell. In other ways, it was easier. Like, dude, the physics shit was way harder. The math shit was way harder at Hamilton, but I don't know.
The math department's good.
Yo, the math department was legit, dude. So they did this thing where you just like had to do your homework. Like you couldn't, like they would just quiz you every day of class. Like if you didn't do the homework, you were fucked.
Yeah. I mean, having to do your homework isn't like a thing that everybody has to do.
No. You go to Cornell, like it's like fucking optional.
Really?
So at Cornell,
shit.
Dude, at Cornell, it's like you have fucking three tests, the first midterm, the second midterm, and the final. And that's like 80, usually like 80% of your grade, and the rest is homework or 90% of your grade. And that's it. Like they don't give a fuck. And everything else is like super optional. It's like, but what's great about that was when I figured out this game, I just didn't go to class.
Yeah. Hamilton, if you've missed like more than two classes in a
Yeah. Class, it was whack. It was just like, it was again, high school, like two.
Yeah. I had classes with four people.
Jeez.
That's so fucking funny. That's so
funny. Solid ratio.
The hell ratio, dude. Well, yeah. There's the other part of that, right? Like Hamilton's 2,000 kids, like, you know everybody.
Yep. That's true.
Wow.
Dude, I can't.
2,000 people?
Yeah, 2,000 people. Again, high school too, man.
Holy shit. There's like 2,000. There's more than 2,000 in my high school.
Wow.
Ken, what were you like in high school? Were you just like the fucking man just pumping out beats?
For the most part. I mean, I like played football and
what did you play in football?
Originally safety and cornerback, and then later outside linebacker.
You just fucking kids.
Little bit of wide receiving, but yeah, also made beats and shit. Like you know, I got real jacked up. Like fucking like freshman year, I was like a little kid with a bowl cut, and then like sophomore year, I don't know, I put on like 40, 50 pounds of muscle and was just like
40 pounds in a year.
Yeah. Just like shaved head, fucking all jacked up and shit.
What did your parents think when you just like jumped from like a medium to XL?
Well, they, you know, they saw it happen, you know, like I was sitting there like taking all kinds of supplements and juice and shit. And like, I like shaved my head and I was all like pissed off and shit. And, like when I went into high school, I was like a really nice kid. And then like by like junior year, like I'm like coming home, like fucking rolling on ecstasy, losing my shit. My mom's like, what's going on with you? I'd be like, nothing, mom. Like break a chair. It was like fucked up.
from Kenneth to Ken.
That's right. Yeah. No, it was cool. You know, I mean, it was all right. Like, I don't know. I guess I started off reasonably academic and then it all went downhill from there.
It's all good. You ended up okay.
Yeah. Well, no, because I fucking, I like really got into the whole music thing. And like, I was like, I had like record deals when I was like 17 years old. So like, I didn't really think I needed to do anything school wise, you know. I was like, all right, fuck y'all. Like, then like a year later Napster comes out and I'm like, fuck.
Well, there's that.
Yeah,
dude, same thing happened to my pops. It was just like, oh wow, making an entire living paying for kids high school and whatnot,
paying for that Cornell,
right? And then boom, off the jingles. And then Napster comes out and it's like,
yeah, it's tough, man. And then But yeah, high school was the fucking shit. Like, I know like a lot of people, and I'm like sympathetic to a lot of people that had like a bad time in high school, but I had an absolutely fucking phenomenal time in high school.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
As a GA instructor, do you find, like, what is the makeup of the people that come to GA these days? Is it like, do you have like high school kids, or it's like, fuck it, I'm not going to college, that are like smart? And or do you have like people who are like, I'm retraining, or like, tell us about that a little bit, because I'm so curious.
Yeah, no, it's almost all career changers. I think I have one student ever who was right out of high school, and then maybe one or two that were college age, but the vast majority were either people who got out of college and couldn't find a job in their field. That was a decent demographic there, but then a lot of like mid-career people who were deciding that they wanted to have a more lucrative career, or they just wanted to do something different.
All right, I got to ask you a question, because this is like something that impacts, I don't know, can you as to, like, we've talked about this before, a lot of people come up to developers and they're like, how do I learn to code? And this is a constant question that we get asked. And it's, I personally have found it, and I'm super biased, obviously, I found that if you have to ask that question, you're probably not predisposed to code, or to just like be a programmer in the quote, in quotes, big quotes. But you at GA, like, you have taken people who are transitioning and are shifting gears. And so you see like the evolution of that. And so like, for me, what I don't comprehend because of my biases, how you could get into this field without being totally obsessed with everything about it. And so like, how do you, I don't know, you've maybe experienced this, maybe you haven't, I don't know. Tell me about that. Like, how do you feel that you've, tell me about the people who have come in and are either not interested, or it's not for them, or what are like the key indicators of success, I guess, is my question for you coming into GA. Because I see so many kids come in, or so many friends come in and have a lot of energy, and just, it's just not for them. And I don't know how to say that, or just tell me about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is, I think it's probably obvious, but having some past experience. So if you took like a couple computer science classes in college, or have some sort of background in coding at some other point, but you just didn't do it as your career and you're trying to do this with your foot in the door, I think that that's a really good predictor usually that you have at least some basis in this. Another thing is just working really hard at it and putting in hours outside of class, because you really do put into it what you, or you really get out of it what you put into it. So if you're putting in a bunch of extra hours on these projects, you're going to have a really great portfolio at the end of projects that you've done. Whereas if you're like not doing your homework, you're falling further and further behind, it's going to be really hard to have the skills at the end in order to like get a job. Yeah, so I think that I have an interesting perspective on it, just because I am a computer science, like I quit computer science in college, and then so I'm mostly self-taught, especially for anything on the web. I totally taught that myself, and then I've been a bootcamp instructor after having a software engineering job. So kind of have all three perspectives in some ways there. And I think that they're all valid paths for different people, and for people who have different backgrounds, different opportunities open to them. I think that all three are super, super valid. It just depends on the person.
No, it's so legit. Like, I know I struggle with this conflict, because like my parents were like, I don't care what you do, you just have to be the best. And so there's that part of me. But then there's also the part of me that's just like, not everybody has to be the best developer. There's like, there's such a shortage of engineering jobs that we need, for lack of a better term, we need just like average developers. We need good developers. We need bad developers. We need everything. It's just like, there's such a shortage.
There's such a thing as being too good.
That's you, man.
Then they usually turn into fucking dicks.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so you know what my biggest indicator for success is?
What?
I think it's when people give a shit. Sure. Not necessarily just giving a shit, but like being passionate about it. Like, if you like this shit, you're gonna be the kind of person that's gonna like, it's like a hobby where we're going to like kind of like seek out how, you know, you're genuinely like passionate about it, which makes like learning a lot easier. If somebody's just trying to pick up a check, they're going to have a really shitty time.
So yeah. There's like academic interest between like passion, right? There's like, oh, I'm cool with learning this in a classroom setting versus like, I'm going to not do anything else but do this all day, or I'm going to stay at home and, and do this and put in that extra oomph. And
even just like genuine curiosity, right? Like, I think this is cool and I want to build this because, you know, I think it's cool. I think it's a cool thing to do. Like, I think there's something to be said for if you have that, I think it's a lot easier to level up.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the pieces of advice that I give to people when they ask me whether they should do a boot camp or whatever, I get like those DMs all the time. And I just say, like, try to teach yourself for a little bit first. Make sure that this is something that you're understanding and enjoying. And if you're understanding and enjoying it, and then you want to move fast, then a boot camp's a great option for you. But if you decide that this isn't fun for you and you don't like it and you don't want to learn more, then like, don't do it.
That's pretty awesome advice. All right, so we're going to move on to picks. Picks every week. We pick the dumbest shit. No, not the dumbest shit. The greatest stuff that we're interested in. Anything you like, pique your interest, whatevs. Sir Kenneth.
Oh, my picks.
Your picks.
Okay. So I'm going to start with this thing that I got last week, which is fucking hilarious. which is, it's like a shotgun, right?
You got a weapon.
No, it's not really a weapon. It's just a shotgun that you fill with salt. And it's for killing flies in your house, right?
Are you fucking up flies, bro?
Yeah, so it shoots, it like does like a buckshot of salt to like kill a fly. Like we had this fly that was in our kitchen, and like it didn't just stay in the kitchen. Like I'd be like laying on the couch watching Netflix later that night, and like the fly would come land on my face, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is this the same fly? And the fly was just terrorizing our household. It was landing on babies. He was landing on our food, and it was too quick for anything. I tried to fucking clap it. I tried to fight, you know, I tried a variety of methods. I tried to whip it. I tried to snap it with a towel. Didn't work out. So I decided to call in the heavy artillery, and I bought this thing. I forget what it's called, but it's fucking cool as shit. It's I got the camo version. It's so fucking dope. You put like table salt in it.
Anything. Right?
Yeah. And then you like cock it, and then like you do the safety, and like a little like sight comes up. And then you just fucking put the fly in the thing. You're like, bow, right? And fucking the salt just kind of like gets the fly. It doesn't really kill it, but like you can take like a paper towel and get it and like leave it outside.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I deeply enjoy that thing. So that's pick number one.
Little wins.
The little wins. Oh, pick number two.
Give us
pick. So pick number two would have to be this thing called Oni, right? Which is... It's a new Vim editor. I've been trying to get back into Vim.
Why?
And I don't know, just so I can look cool at Starbucks. but yeah, it's called Oni. It's pretty chill. It's written in Reverie, I think, which is all Reason ML.
Wow, that's the most hipster shit you said all day.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been really enjoying that. I think it's no VS Code just yet, but it's getting there, and I'm a big fan of the stack, so there's that. And that's my picks. What about your picks?
My picks?
Your picks.
I'm going to go with number one, Vue. No, I'm just kidding. it's not for this podcast. All right, pick numero uno, Casamigos, tequila, because, well, we've been having fun with that the rest of the whole day. And so pick number two, I'll go with React Loops from Lee Byron.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That shit is super funny. So Lee Byron, like inventor of did he invent GraphQL?
If he didn't outright invent it, he played a huge part in the development of the spec.
Huge role. React Loops, React Velcro architecture. I'm going to go with that. It's lit.
Allie, you got some picks for us?
Yeah, give us some picks.
Yeah. So my first one is early 2000s pop.
yeah.
Dusty's pile of shit. Let's go.
Yeah, so good. So I read these blog posts that are teaching like JavaScript concepts through pop songs. So I have one that's like Thank You Next. It teaches like linked lists. And then I came out with one recently that was debugging JavaScript through Britney Spears. And now... every time I see somebody, they just talk about that and then tell me to listen to some Britney song. So I've been listening to Britney Spears on repeat for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So
nice.
On the
this blog post about called Thank You Next.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fucking
it's a lot of fun. The whole entire thing is like just filled with
too good. Okay. Allie, how can people follow you on the interwebs and the tubes?
Yeah, so I am Acepiddle pretty much everywhere. Dev2 is where I write my blog posts. So Acepiddle again there, and then Twitter's my other platform. So Acepiddle on that as well.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. This was fun.
This was epic. This was awesome. Thank
you. We like to have fun.
We do like to have some fun.
Well, that's our show. Thanks again for listening to the Undefined Podcast. Our guest today has been Allie Spittle, developer advocate at Dev.2. As always, for the latest updates and memes, follow us on Twitter at TheUndefined.io or at Undefined.fm. For the Undefined Podcast, I'm Jared Palmer, along with Ken Wheeler, and we'll see you next time.